Hey everybody, this is Austin here with the Celebi of Audio Issues. Unfortunately, we are here to report that my audio is not quite up to par this week. I was recording in a different location, and combined that with my cold that has no end in sight, my audio was not exactly the greatest this week. I tried to fix it, but it's still not quite perfect, so apologies for that, and thank you for listening.
Hey, I know! I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other random stuff we happen to think about. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I am your host, Alex, and I'm joined on this lovely day by my co-host, Austin. Hello, Austin.
Hey, I think I'm on the wrong podcast.
What podcast are we on?
I thought this was Out of the Resort, a White Lotus podcast.
Ooh. Do you think we could give enough riveting commentary on White Lotus to make a good podcast out of it?
I think it's very easy to discuss, actually.
Oh my god, you guys. Does anybody else out there listen to or watch White Lotus, rather? Because it's so good.
We are doing something Alex never does, which is watch a show week to week.
Oh my god, you guys. It's like a magical world that I've never been a part of before.
Oh my god. I've been following TV weekly since I was, like, born, but okay.
I don't know how you do it. I don't have the patience normally to do this, like, watching it in real time.
TV's more fun if you watch it spaced out like that. It's how it's meant to be viewed.
I guess. I do admit that I've missed out on a lot of, like, cultural zeitgeist moments because I don't watch stuff when it's happening.
Anyway, but yeah, we're watching The White Lotus.
Ugh. God, it's so good.
Oh my god. Okay, thoughts. Okay.
Thoughts?
Nothing good is going to come of this family. I hate this family. Oh my god.
Okay, if anybody has watched White Lotus, you know, episode 1 of season 3 last week, well, it'll be...
It'd been like 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks, yeah. By the time this comes out. This fucking family, guys. The main family, there's something wrong with them.
Something bad is going to happen. I think something bad already has happened. Like...
Honestly, I've never been so, like, squicked out by any character on White Lotus before, but, oh my god.
Oh, it's escalating, from the previous seasons.
I do miss Jennifer Coolidge. I really wish she was there. Maybe she'll show up again. Oh, can I say, like, it's not really a spoiler, I don't think.
At this point, the show's been out for a while.
Okay.
Oh, what were you gonna say? What's the theory?
The theory that I saw, and of course, as of saying this right now, I know, again, it'll be 3 weeks since the first one, but the theory that I saw as of episode 1 is that season 2 and season 3 are running concurrently. Like, it's happening at the same time.
That might work.
So, we'll see what happens.
Oh, okay, I don't know if they have any dates that might contradict that.
Of course, this was a theory that I just read, so there's nothing concrete to say one way or the other yet. However, it's interesting to note, and I did pick up on this in the last episode that we watched, episode 1. You know the trio of ladies when they're sitting there having their conversation, and she's like, "Oh, your daughter's turning out to be so cool."
Wait, do they think that character is Portia?
Yes.
Oh shit! But Portia's not cool. Portia's like a total fuddy-duddy.
I know, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
But then again, those ladies were like bullshitting each other, so maybe not.
They're catty to the max. Yeah. Something's gonna happen. And then what's her name crying at the end? I'm like, yeah, they hate her. Like, I'm sorry, you guys. I know if this is. If you're not into White Lotus, you're like, move the fuck on. Sorry.
I know. But... Skip. Okay, I did see one theory about who the shooter was.
Oh, at the beginning?
Yeah. Have you heard this theory?
Okay, skip ahead if you don't want spoilers.
No, I'm going to type it.
Oh, okay. Okay. White Lotus is such a nail biter. It's not even like an action-packed thing, but it's so good. We'll see what kind of shenanigans happen.
Okay, this is the theory I saw of who the identity of the shooter.
Okay. Oh my god. It could very well be.
I love that. Okay, if you're a White Lotus watcher and you want to know what we're talking about, and you want to know what the identity that I saw speculated, email us or whatever, and I'll let you know.
That's great.
But if you don't watch The White Lotus and this is a Pokemon podcast, well, we'll move on.
Yeah. My last final thought is it's not going to be what you expect.
No, of course
it never
not.
Is.
It's always a twist.
There's always a twist, and it's the best kind of twist. I'm really excited about that. I'm so glad it's back. It feels like it's been forever, but whew. Where Austin and I are meeting up later this afternoon. Again, this will be a week in advance when you hear this, but episode two is airing tonight, and I'm so excited. So, what else is going on? Aside from White Lotus, which is obviously the big news.
Well, what have you been doing? What have you been up to?
Well, I'm preparing to move, which...
That's probably going to be the next several weeks.
Yeah, and as I say that, my anxiety just, like, washed over me.
Okay, moving on.
Oh, you and I, okay, so your birthday is coming up, and you and I are going to hang out and go to the Sonic Cafe pop-up.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Not Sonic the restaurant, Sonic the Hedgehog, the blue guy, the novelty pop-up cafe that's traveling around or whatever. We're going to go to that and fill our veins with greasy, probably disgusting food, but it's not about that, it's about Sonic.
We're going to report back on that in a week.
Well, yeah, we'll report back. It's probably just, what, like a greasy burger and a floppy hot dog and overpriced onion rings.
Well, you want to hear my week?
Yeah.
Well, this is the second week in a row where I accidentally went to an anime convention.
Of course you did.
Kind of.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
So Austin originally was traveling for work and somehow ended up on a convention bus headed to a convention that he was not supposed to be at. Oh, you sent me some very questionable pictures yesterday.
I did. Okay. So long story short, I'm with some friends and one of them says, I don't want to sit around the house doing nothing all weekend. We have to go out and do something. So I remembered that one friend wanted to go look at retro video game stores. And I was like, let's just do that. Let's just like explore the area. So I Googled it and I found like one of the top results was somewhat nearby.
Sure.
So we drove over there. The place is packed, by which I mean it's like in a strip mall.
Yeah.
Every single parking space is full.
I mean, this is a Saturday.
Yeah, true. But we had to circle around three times looking for a spot.
Oh my God.
Finally found one. Get in there. See the giant inflatables of Pikachu and Sonic the Hedgehog. And I'm like, oh boy, this is going to be something. We open the door and we are at a con.
So there was like an event happening.
Did you look at the website I sent you?
Yes, I did. There's like events all month.
It's like a space where every weekend there is a different event happening. And we arrived during the trading card weekend.
Oh, wow. I'm sure it was mobbed.
We didn't know. I thought it was just going to be like a store. So we go in there. It was a million things going on.
Oh, boy.
So we were just walking around. I got a picture of a questionable fan art called Thick Pikachu. T-H-I-C-C Pikachu. And it's his ass on display.
What the fuck?
Like giant big old...
It was like a big old banner. Like a big tapestry. And it was like a card. Like a TCG card. And I saved it in the chat because I wanted to see what the move was on the card because it's in the style of a TCG.
It was thunderclaps.
Thunderclaps. Oh my God. Clap them cheeks.
So that was funny. I ended up leaving with a new Funko Pop. That was about it.
There was also some like knockoff Snorlax with two X's stuff.
Oh, there was an entire Snorlax store.
I want to go.
We can go. We can go anytime.
I want to go because I feel like I need more Snorlax merch, even if it's knockoff merch, in my life.
In 2 weeks, they have BarbieCon.
BarbieCon? Oh my God. Do you think they'll have Barbie Horse Adventures there?
They very well might.
Oh my God. Austin.
I imagine it's collectors of the dolls.
They might have peripheral media. They might have the games. Oh my God. If they had Detective Barbie and Barbie, I would die. We have to go.
Okay. We can go to BarbieCon. Oh my God. I don't know Barbie lore. But I do have my I Am Knuff t-shirt I can wear.
Okay, I can just wear something pink because I don't have any Barbie items. But like, if they have stuff there, oh my God.
After that, I made my friends watch the Barbie movie that they hadn't seen. And they thought it was weird and did not seem to care for it.
Well, you know what I say to that? Poo on them. Poo on them.
That's why I say they're old gays. They're out of touch and they don't know what's culturally relevant. I was like, this was like a pop culture phenomenon. And they were like, no, it wasn't. I'm like, you're fucking so out of touch.
These gays are trying to kill me.
Oh my God, these guys are trying to murder me.
God.
Tutti gay. We all gay. I'm sorry.
So we couldn't
you're
help
gay
it, guys.
Too?
We snuck another White Lotus reference in there. They are so out of touch. To that I say, they need to have a reality check. Because
they really do.
Whatever.
I told them, I'm trying to, like, show you what, like, youth culture is. And they were like, no, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm like,
Okay, they're Gen Xers, though, so.
Barely. Anyway, the weekend after BarbieCon is the Pokemon MiniCon.
Oh my god, I want to go, but I know that it'll absolutely be slammed, and I'm not sure if I'm prepared for that.
Oh, it will be slammed.
Come on and slam, and welcome to the jam.
Lisa Ortiz is going to be there.
Oh, see, if we have real people showing up there, like real actors, you know it's going to be slammed. Okay, it says free entry and parking, but then everything else is going to cost money.
There's a Pokemon-themed karaoke.
A Pokemon catching pond game. I'm not participating in the battle tournament. Forget that.
Oh, of course not. No, we can't do that.
Oh my god, a Pokemon Stadium Classic tournament.
I can't do that either.
I couldn't do it either because I'm not good at it. I can only do it with, like, in a controlled environment with just, like, you and me. And, like, I can't friends, do it with, like, strangers.
Not, like, yeah, random friends. People.
I can't deal with another My Lapras Has Shell Armor person. I can't do it.
That's some deep out of the drying pan lore, for the record. Okay, we're going to leave it be.
Should we not? Okay.
Okay, better.
That's just going to have to be a mystery to you guys. Sorry.
Okay, so that was my weekend.
That's exciting.
I guess we're going to BarbieCon.
Oh my god, BarbieCon. I just want to go because I want to see if they have, like, merchandise there and, like, some crazy retro games or something. And I swear to god, if I came across Barbie Horse Adventure, I would literally cry.
No, we're going on a mission. We're going to go and be like, we are looking for Barbie Horse Adventure, so help you god, you're going to help us find it.
Does anyone have it? Does anyone know anything about Barbie Horse Adventure? It's my biggest mistake in my life. I don't know why I ever sold it. The CD-ROM, okay, Barbie Horse Adventure, and then the one for PlayStation also. Are they both called Barbie Horse Adventure? I think it's like Riding Adventure. Hold on. Barbie Riding Club. Or is it Barbie Riding Club? It's Barbie Riding Club is the PC.
Oh, okay. Barbie Horse Adventure is for PS2.
Yes. Okay, Barbie Riding Club was like the very first game I ever like played on the computer.
I hope Josh is ready to go to BarbieCon, by the way.
Josh is always down to clown.
Oh, I know he is.
What do we have this week that we're talking about?
We have a Pokemon Chronicles episode, a family that battles together, stays together, and we have There's No Place Like Hoenn.
I'm so glad we got to see the Chronicles episode.
What do you mean, the Chronicles episode?
The Brock Chronicles episode.
The only Brock Chronicles episode.
I know. It's the episode. I remember this one, actually.
Well, this is an important episode.
I feel like we're going to have a lot to talk about on, like, a more serious note because of the family dynamics of it all, but...
This is a very family-heavy episode.
It really is.
I don't have the Dragonite coin at the moment because I'm sitting at a different location, so I'm going to use my phone.
Oh, no.
Flip.
I feel like we're denying Destiny. We don't have the Dragonite coin.
I'm doing the 30-second summary, and you can do the full one for the Brock episode. Oh my
gosh, this is... Okay, you know what? Forget what I said about Destiny. This is how it's meant to be. Ready, Austin?
Yeah.
In 3, 2, 1, Brock it.
Brock is a rockin', and he's a rockin' in Peter City, where his mom has returned from the grave, and she has turned the rock-type gym into a water-type gym, and made it really gaudy with ugly decorations. And Brock fucking hates his parents because they're unreliable and flaky and immature, and so he's like, I'm gonna fix this gym no matter what. Forrest is there, and he's Andrew Rannells, and he's a little mini Brock. And eventually, Brock punches his mother in the face and gives the gym back to his dad.
Time. Oh my god. Okay, you're not really far off from what actually happened. Guys, we're gonna have a lot to say about this. Poor Brock. I just feel very badly for him.
I think this kind of explains a lot about Brock.
It does explain a lot about Brock. It explains a lot about a lot of stuff, actually. I'm going to try my best to put my words to this as best that I can, but anybody who's grown up with narcissistic or immature parents, I feel like this episode really resonates with you. It resonated with me. Anyway, so let us just jump right in here. Brock is back in Pewter City, which is really funny because I just got through Pewter City in Let's Go, and so it's fresh on my mind.
Brock has not been in Pewter City since he left.
I know. It's wild. It's how many years has it been? And nobody has aged, which, you know.
Of course not. We'll just
gloss over that. But he's parted ways with Ash. He's back in Pewter City. This gave me such, like, season one vibes. We have the suspicious man, who we know to be Flint, sitting on his rock like he does, trying to tell him and any passerby that Pewter City is cursed and to turn back, dead man tell no tales or something. But Brock is like, what the fuck? This is not going to work on me. I recognize you, Dad. Like, get up off your ass and come on. This isn't funny anymore.
I thought it was funny that Brock says, did you think I wouldn't recognize your voice when Flint has a different voice actor?
Oh my God, is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even catch that. That's hilarious.
I thought that was funny.
But he snatches his disgusting, scruffy, fake beard off of his face and his hat. Flint is very depressed, and he says that the Pewter City gym glory days are over because his mother happened to the gym. I guess that means she's back. The last time we heard anything about Brock's mother, Flint claimed that she was dead. So
she's not that dead.
What was going on with that?
Oh, is that a literal question?
Literal question. Yeah. Why was Flint telling Ash and friends? And why didn't Brock, like, chime in and say anything?
Because 4K changed the dialogue back in season one and said that she was dead, when really she was just as flighty and irresponsible as Flint is.
And honestly, I don't blame Brock one iota for not respecting his parents at all. And you'll see why, because they are completely unreliable and abusive, honestly.
They abandoned their baby children, like toddlers.
Baby, yes.
For
small
children. Unknown periods of time.
Brock is immediately pissed off. You can immediately sense a change in his demeanor, even on interacting with Flint. He doesn't have a lot of respect for Flint either, which, why should he? Flint does not deserve it. Just because you're a parent does not mean you automatically have respect of your children. You have to earn it.
Flint didn't even live at the fucking home when we first met these people. He was like,
no,
a vagrant for no reason. He was
traveling around, abandoning his responsibilities as a father, potentially a husband at the time, because we don't know where his mom is, and then as a gym leader too. So they arrive at the gym, and Lola apparently has just returned from God knows where, for God knows
from
how
hell.
Long she's been away. Yeah, from hell. She clawed her way back up, I guess. And she just immediately comes in and steamrolls over everything, undoes all the hard work that Flint and Brock and Forrest and all his siblings have put into this gym. She just returns and decides, it's my gym now, and I'm going to turn it into a water-type gym and decorate it how I want to decorate it, which enraged me, because, like, when you have somebody coming in and just kind of establishing dominance over something that they had no hand in, that is completely inappropriate. At first, but you would say, like, well, what's the big deal? Because, like, we don't hear about all this. I'm kind of jumping the gun. But she's just put up, like, a hedge and flowers and stuff.
It looks nice.
It looks nice on the outside. Like, oh, you'd think, like, oh, she's just doing a little TLC or whatever. But this goes against everything Brock stands for, because he says Pewter City Gym is the pinnacle of, like, rock types and cold gray stone and toughness. And there's no room for hedges here. So he's already mad.
Brock is predisposed to be mad.
He has every reason to be mad.
Yeah.
As we'll see.
He's mad by default. I'm the same way. You come near home, you're mad. Yeah. And Brock is literally 15, so that he's the right age to be mad like that.
Exactly. He goes home and sees all his siblings there, which I cannot remember their names. I'm sorry. If you can remember, that'd be great.
Little Susie, who always rips her dresses. I know her.
We arrive home and things seem to be in chaos. All of his siblings seem to be annoyed at best, and they're just like, oh, mom's home. We finally meet this mother. Her name is Lola, as we said, and she apparently has a very well-established history of being, I guess, flighty is the word. She's always putting herself first and expecting her family to just adapt and pick up the slack. What was her hobbies that she's done? She's
oh my God, there was like a million.
There's a million.
She said astrology, that tracks.
Astrological signs. Sure.
She said she was an opera singer at one point. Did I ever hear that correctly?
I think so. Later on we hear that.
My favorite one was when she was juggling UU sticks.
What's a UU stick?
I have no fucking idea. I googled UU sticks and I got UU Hakusho.
Okay, so I don't know what the fuck a UU stick is.
She created UU sticks. You can buy them on her Etsy.
I guess maybe she was trying to be a little bit entrepreneurial. I kind of took that to be like she ran off to be like a circus performer.
Yeah, I think that's the implication. She's running off. She's like leaving.
Yeah.
Like unannounced. Like she's like, okay, bye. And you never know when she's gonna pop back in.
No, it's whenever her fancy strikes her of like, oh, she gets this idea in her head and she just abandons all responsibility, leaves. You have no warning. There's no sense of obligation to anything. And she has small, again, like Austin said, small toddler children at home. Right. And she leaves the responsibility of child rearing to her other children.
Duggar style.
The Duggar style. Yeah, like the older children raise the younger children, which...
Bad.
Very bad. Like, and you can absolutely understand why Brock is completely fed up with his parents. He has no respect for either of them. He gets easily angered when speaking to them. They don't really give a shit about his wants, feelings, needs, the stress on the family. Like, he was basically just told, you're going to raise your siblings now and take care of everything. Cook, clean, run the gym, whatever the fuck.
He wasn't even told. Presumably, no. They just walked out the door and he had to be like, we're going to fucking die if I don't do something.
He had to step up and be a parent to several younger siblings and make ends meet all by himself. It's absolutely abusive and horrendous. I don't know why CPS is not involved here, but...
It's the Pokemon world.
No CPS, the Pokemon world.
For all the good parts of the Pokemon world, child safety is not one of them.
Yeah, that's so true. I'm not really sure what her latest passion du jour is like painting. She wants to be an art connoisseur and collect art.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks very little of his mother's art. He's like, it looks like Toko. I guess that's one of the siblings. Looks like one of the babies drew with a crayon.
That's interesting.
He says Toko.
Because on Bulbapedia, Toko is not one of the siblings.
Is it somebody else?
Toko is the Japanese name for one of the siblings.
Oh, that is interesting.
There's a little glitch there. Whoopsie.
What does that correspond with?
Tilly,
okay.
The youngest girl.
Okay. So you can automatically see that Brock doesn't think highly of his mom at all. He's like, yeah, your art sucks. You suck. So at the gym, we see even more destruction and disaster having occurred by Lola's hand. She's immediately come home and just started bulldozing everything. She has put up horrific pink and yellow streamers all over the place. She's like painted on the walls and the worst part is she's dug out the stone flooring and filled it in with water because she's turned it into a water gym.
I like to imagine she just like got a garden hose and was like, okay, fill it up with water.
And starts filling it up like a baby pool. Yeah. Apparently Lola is a water type trainer, which we did not know this. I'm kind of surprised Brock wasn't more antagonistic to Misty just because he was having like flashbacks of like...
Didn't Brock's dialogue say, Mom, did you get all these Pokemon since I've been gone?
Oh, did he say that? It's new?
She has a newfound love for water types.
That might be very true.
Did I misinterpret that?
No, maybe you're right. Maybe that's another one of her, like, flights of fancy is now she's, like, a water trainer. That's what she's feeling on this Wednesday afternoon is water types. I have no idea. Which, honestly, that makes me feel kind of bad because it's like, if she has a history of just dropping things to start something new, does that mean she just releases or abandons her Pokemon whenever she feels like she needs a change?
I like to think that if nothing else, Brock will be able to relocate these water type Pokemon to the Cerulean Gym when
that's
this is all
a
said
good
and done.
Point.
Okay. if she yeah, okay. is that, and we know she is that irresponsible, so
at least they won't be completely abandoned. Brock, but still the fact that Brock would have to take on that responsibility and try to find homes or some sort of alternative housing for these Pokemon, like, again, puts it on him to deal with. Anyway, so Brock, apparently, this is his breaking point. He's like, this is bullshit. You can't just come in here like you own this place after you've been gone and just come in here and change everything at your whim. So he's like, Flint, I'm pissed off at you. You need to be a dad and stand up to this. Flint is actually the gym leader. He's the gym leader officially. So it's his responsibility. And we do get the sense that Flint basically kowtows to Lola's every desire at the expense of his kids. Like, I'm not saying like you can't, you know, do things to make your spouse or partner happy, and that's completely fine. But he does it at the expense of his children. If anybody has been in a family dynamic where one parent sides against the kid, even if the kid's not wrong, just to appease the other parent, then you know exactly how this feels.
Ooh, okay, things I could say, and I'm not going to. All right.
I know, things I could say too, but I will not say. Anyway, so you can absolutely see why Brock is pissed off, because Flint has never been his champion or his sibling's champion. He just basically tells them, you're going to do what your mother wants. No regard to their own feelings. So he has an explosive outburst at this point. which indicates this lifetime of disdain that he has towards her, and says, Flint, you better battle mom for this gym because you can't let the reputation of Pewter City Gym is on the line. You can't just let her do this. So he very reluctantly gets into this battle. She chooses a Meryl and he chooses Golem. And already he's like, there's no way I can win. Rock types always have the disadvantage. Ugh. This doesn't go very well, this battle at all. Poor Golem.
I thought Golem had the upper hand there for a minute.
For a second, he calls Golem out. Golem has one little pebble to stand on in this pool and has a good idea of using Earthquake to kind of stir up the water and sort of make a tsunami. But Meryl knows surf and kind of just rides the wave and drowns Golem. And Golem sinks to the bottom, and poor Golem has to be fished out of the tank by Blastoise, and then Blastoise is over there performing CPR on the half-dead Golem, so.
Oh, MVP the Blastoise for sure.
I know. And Meryl, too, was kind of jumping on its chest. Flint couldn't give a shit. He did not go over there and check on Golem at all. So, sadly, Flint loses. They completely start getting into their inappropriate lovey-dovey PDA thing that they do in front of their kids all the time, where they start recounting how they met.
Which I thought tracked so well.
Any thoughts on this?
They have 10 children. Of course they can't keep their hands off each other.
They can't keep their hands off of each other. Lola kind of, she has her femininity and she knows how to use it. I'll just say that. On Flint. Am I wrong to go here, but does it seem like Lola's like way younger than him?
Not way younger. Well, Flint has like an older guy kind of, he has the wrinkles going on.
Maybe he just spends a lot of time outside or something. Doesn't use sunscreen. I don't know.
I think Lola might have gotten some work done.
That could very well be also. Maybe I think that might be it. She cares a lot about her appearance.
We are bringing in a lot of like really negative anti-women stereotypes for this character. But
honestly, okay, so I wouldn't be so critical of Lola if she was actually a good parent.
Which she is not.
She's not a good parent. I mean, the plastic surgery or whatever aside, that's unrelated, but, like, the fact that she's a bad parent is not in dispute here.
Like, so. She would see an ad on Facebook and be like, ooh, that sounds good, I want that. That's
yeah.
Her character. Yeah. She's a fucking boomer.
Yeah.
She's one of the bad boomers.
She just does what she wants to do, and it doesn't really matter how she accomplishes it, because she knows that other people will be there to pick up the slack or take care of the fallout as a result. Like, she doesn't really think about anybody but herself. And that's just facts. I mean, that doesn't have anything to do with her being a mother or woman or anything like that. Like, that's just who she is.
And Flint is just absentee. Like, he just doesn't do
anything. Well, he's an enabler. He is an enabler.
He let her run around causing havoc. The one thing we know about Flint is he likes to abandon things. He's like, oh, this is too heavy for me. I'm out. He's emotionally immature.
Yeah. And he just buries his head in the sand.
He has no spine. He has nothing to him.
He's very much the passive one of the couple and kind of just defers to her in all regard. Anyway, so they don't hide their affection towards each other, and they kind of get the hearts and flowers and shit all around them. And they're like, ooh, Flint, ooh, Lola. And I guess poor Brock has to prepare for his other sibling number 20 or however many fucking siblings he has. I don't know.
You know all those kids can hear them fucking in their bedroom at night. You know it.
Well, there's a scene coming up.
They don't care.
They do not care. They're very much, I feel like they're like very free love. Like, who cares? It's so natural. We love each other. Ooh, like that kind of thing. Even though it's like inappropriate to let your kids hear you doing that stuff. And these are like young kids too. This isn't like 20 something year old.
The oldest one is 15. The second oldest one is about to turn 10. Like,
yeah.
And it goes all the way down to like 2.
Yeah. Forrest, Brock's second youngest sibling there, he can't abide this. He's like, I've had it. Runs off, and he's like, I can't fucking deal with this. And his sister, I'm not sure which one, is like, oh, Forrest is really upset because he really had, his goals and aspirations are to be the Pewter City gym leader, like a rock type master. He doesn't want anything to do with water types, so he can't really stand to see this happening. Brock follows. They have a brotherly conversation where Brock is actually really responsible. You know, Forrest is kind of like, ooh, tell me about the girls and stuff that you've met on your adventures. And Brock's like, no, you know, we really need to have a serious discussion. Like, I'm here for you. I support you. And I'll help you overcome obstacles and teach you to be a trainer that can overcome difficulties no matter the circumstances. Which I thought was really sweet. So the next morning, Brock is like, okay, you know what? Flint was just a pushover and that didn't count. So I am going to battle you for the honor of Pewter City Gym. Because, of course, Brock has to step up and do everything himself. During the battle, Brock chooses his mainstay Onyx and Lola chooses Mantine.
You mean Mantine?
It's always going to be Mantine for me.
They said Mantine.
Mantine, Mantine, whatever.
Pidget.
Pidget, exactly. You say tomato, I say tomato.
You say tomato, I say Pidget.
Onyx is cool. He does a really neat move where he dives into the water and uses Dig, which causes a giant whirlpool and somehow does not, like, completely crumble the foundation of this building. I guess it's made out of rocks.
I had a lot of questions about the fact that Onyx could burrow underground, under the pool, and all the water drained out. That's what makes me think Lola used the garden hose for this shit.
Yeah.
This building's about to collapse at any moment.
Especially considering, like, everything is, like, gravel and mud and stone. It's like, wouldn't this turn into, like, a big sloppy pit where, like, everything would fall in like a sinkhole? Mantine gets beached. It's flopping around helplessly. I kind of felt bad for it for, like, a second.
That was funny.
Yeah. But lest we forget, Mantine can kind of fly.
It's a flying glide
pet. Around. Yeah.
I thought it was pretty pitiful that Mantine or Mantine or whatever couldn't just lift itself off the ground and fly.
Start flapping.
It needed a boost.
When it got hit by Onyx, right?
Yeah, I guess it's a kite, so maybe that makes sense.
Well, it can't just, like, flap its wings and fly away like a bird.
It's got to jump out of the ocean to do it.
Yeah. It's got to have some momentum to jump and stuff. So poor Onyx takes a few unfortunate bubble beam attacks, and it's hanging on. It's really trying its best. I think after the whole Pikachu, and that did come up, actually, when Brock was talking to Forrest. Or was it when he was talking to Forrest, or was it after the fact? Pikachu's sprinklers.
I think he was telling Flint, just because it's a water-type battlefield doesn't mean you can't do anything.
That, okay, yeah,
You gotta think out of the box.
So that's kind of a fun throwback. Brock was talking about overcoming things and being creative, like you said, in an unusual way to win a battle. So Brock lets Onyx take a couple of bubble beam attacks just so he can position himself just perfectly after using a bind attack to charge up for a tail slam.
What the hell is a tail slam?
I don't know what a tail slam is. Isn't that... That's a real move, right? Or am I thinking...
Slam is a move.
Or is it body? Did they get it mixed up with body slam?
Maybe they meant body slam.
Oh, there's tail slap. Okay, tail slam is not a thing. I guess it was all those things in one. Tail slap, slam, body slam, who knows?
I think you meant, like, use your tail to use slam.
Sure, put everything you got into that. Which he does, and Mantine is knocked out. Goodbye, Mantine. Then I got pissed off all over again at Flint, because instead of saying, good job, son, he immediately starts apologizing to Lola.
Oh, I was zoned out. I was calling CPS on my phone at the time, actually.
He was absolutely, like, groveling at her feet. Like, oh my gosh, don't be mad. I'm so sorry, honey bun. Oh, this is terrible.
Don't leave us again. Don't leave me.
Basically, I think she's very manipulative in that sense. But Brock is over this shit. He's like, whatever. I won fair and square. Get out of here. They don't actually leave. I was half expecting Flint and Lola to, like, leave again. And no, try to...
The parts unknown.
Yeah. Try to put somebody in charge. But actually, it's Brock who decides that he can't stand this shit and can't, you know, bear to stay around, which, on the one hand, I understand where he's coming from, like, not wanting to be involved in this, but, like, also I feel bad for his siblings, that he's left them in the care of Lola and Flint again.
Brock has been here for 24 hours, and he's like, this is why I've never returned before. I am getting the hell out of here. Where's Ash? I gotta find Ash. Take me out of this life.
He's got to get the hell out of Dodge. He's like, I can't stand this. Forrest, good luck. And he just fucking leaves again. I guess he's off to go find Ash.
In a way, you'd think Forrest might be resentful for Brock. Maybe when he gets a little older.
I think he might be resentful of Brock eventually. I mean, he does. Okay, so one thing that Brock does that is nice is that he leaves Onyx with Forrest.
Mm-hmm.
For Forrest to take care of. And it's a very well-trained Pokemon, so automatically Forrest has an advantage.
But it's not permanent.
But yeah, I can't blame Brock. Like I said, I understand him wanting to leave. And it's not his responsibility to parent his siblings. But also at the same time, I do feel bad for the kids that they have to be in this situation with no way out. Like, they have nobody else, apparently. I guess we don't have any, like, grandparents or aunts and uncles or anything that we know of. We're on the way. Brock is gonna return, which I'm excited. Everybody knows I love Brock.
Did you notice something was missing from this episode?
Missing?
This is from Bulbapedia.
Oh, boy.
Two 22-second scenes are removed from the end, showing Brock leaving Geodude, Onyx, and Crobat with Forrest.
What?
Apparently, there is a cut scene where Brock also calls out Geodude and Crobat / Timothy.
No,
and not says, Timothy. You're going to stay here, too.
Oh, boo. So he leaves Crobat and Geodude?
Did you not remember that? Did you think that Geodude and Crobat were going to come to Hoenn?
I honestly did not think about it. Okay, so that means that currently Brock only has on him Fortress?
Fortress.
That's it. Well, I guess we'll get to see a little bit more Fortress.
But not maybe. Crobat and Geodude.
I'm so sad. I love Timothy the Crobat.
He had a good run. Geodude did not have a good run, though.
Geodude didn't really do anything.
He shoved Larvitar's head into the sand that one time.
Yeah, he was a bully for like a second. I'm not really sure what overcame him in that moment, but that's interesting. I guess there's really not much more to say other than we're not Lola fans here.
I'm not fans of either of them. It takes two.
That is true. Flint is complicit in this bullshit.
He's just as bad.
He could step up, but he does not. Any other thoughts on that? Or should we do our most valuable and our least valuable end quote?
This episode is fascinating to me. We have gone through years of Brock alternating between the reasonable authority figure who is like, I'm going to take care of all the cooking and the cleaning.
Aww.
But he's also like a really socially inept teenage boy who thinks adult women want to romance him and throw himself at their feet. Because he's a cartoon character. He's not a real person.
No.
So I think everything comes into focus when you see this episode, which we saw the first time we met Brock, that he was not a fan of his father. But seeing the family dynamics actually play out for a whole episode and seeing him be pissed off in a way we've never seen him like that before. This is a completely new side of Brock for us.
Exactly.
You could argue, he's so inept with women because his model for romance is Flint and Lola. He thinks that's how you do it, is you're like, oh, my lovely darling. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's out of his depth.
Well, he's also a child still.
That too, yeah. He's still 15, so he's not very
But he was equipped. Parentified, which makes it an interesting dynamic, because I'm sure, like, okay, to your point, Brock is a fictional character. He's not real.
If a real person behaved like Brock, call the police. Like,
but people do behave like that. That's okay. The interesting thing is Brock is an interesting, like, psych study, honestly. Because after this episode, like you mentioned, you can absolutely see the influences of why he acts the way he does. And honestly, he's pretty well adjusted for the terrible role models that he has as parents. And the fact that he's basically raised himself and other children, too. It's a miracle Brock turned out the way he did. Like that you said, we see this side of him that we've never seen before. Like, was he even capable of this kind of anger, vitriol, disdain? Like, and it's deserved. I mean, look at his parents. Like, they're terrible parents. And I honestly wonder, like, when we get these moments of realness in the Pokemon anime, remember, like, the Politoed episodes and stuff? It just makes you feel like, I wonder if one of the writers had a personal experience with this kind of thing.
Weirdly enough, this feels like a very vital episode. We needed that. If Brock's going to stay around longer than he already has, we needed this exact episode to see where he's coming from and why.
Like, why he would want to return?
Well, that, and also why he is the way he is.
Oh, I agree.
And we haven't seen Peter City since episode 5. Like, this was, we needed to check in on this.
I'm so glad we did. I mean, they could have easily glossed over this and never given us a resolution. I mean, again, who was thinking about it after so long? It's like, okay, this is many years later. I'm glad we got that insight into it and kind of like where he is coming from in terms of his demeanor and outlook on stuff or whatever. But nobody deserves that. I just feel so bad for him and his siblings. Some people should not be parents.
Some of those kids are going to have a really, really rough life. They just are.
I know. Brock arguably is the one that you would say like, okay. I mean, of course, and you can't put every kid into like a box and be like, okay, this is, you know, you're doomed or whatever. From the start, just because of your circumstances. Brock didn't have any. But there's 10
of them.
Like, yeah.
Not all of them are going to be well-adjusted.
No, not all of them. But it's interesting to see, like, Brock. Brock being the oldest, not having anybody to, like, look up to or help him through that. Like, Brock is a role model for all of his siblings. So presumably, and again, like you said, you can't necessarily account for all the kids. You know, some may be, you know, a little bit more well-adjusted or ill-adjusted than others. But at least the kids have Brock to look up to. Brock didn't have anybody else. Maybe they have that going for them. Although Brock not being there is, they don't have a way out. Like, Brock is old enough to have a way out and be like, okay, I'm going to go. They don't. They don't have that option. So I agree with you. I think those kids are just, they're fucked. Like, they just have Flint and Lola there. Like,
I guess the other big thing this episode did was establish one of Brock's siblings as an actual character.
Forrest.
Forrest is the tallest one. And obviously, up to this point, he's done nothing whatsoever except for grab onto Ash's torso in that one episode. But other than that, now he has a name. He has a personality. He has interest. He's really devoted to the rock type gym concept. He really wants to be a Pokemon trainer, and he wants to be a rock type specialist. He's basically going to become the Brock from the video game.
Yeah, you're right about that.
So I think that was a really interesting choice to be like, oh, look at all these kids. Maybe one of them should actually be a person. Because anime Brock is far diverged from the shirtless dude standing in a dark room in the gym. As his little trainer people say, you're light years away from fighting Brock, or whatever.
Yeah.
Anime Brock is his own character.
And I'm glad they did that.
Yeah, and I like how Forrest is interesting because he's younger than Ash, and he's going to be a trainer. He's like the one person to age, other than Lapras.
Yeah, and that's true. And I wonder how many, like, in a real... And again, I know this is an anime, and we're prescribing real-life thoughts and feelings onto it. But, like, having a goal as a kid in an abusive household, like, that's probably one of the only things keeping him sane, is to, like, have a goal and looking forward to the future of, like, one day I'll be old enough, one day I'll be out of this situation, one day. It's all he can do to look forward to that, because the situation he's in now isn't so great. So it's like, okay, he's got this to work forward to. I hope for his sake and all his siblings, Flint and Lola actually help nurture this and don't try to steamroll over him again. You know, I hope, like, after Brock leaves, Lola doesn't try to pull her bullshit again. Like, how would Brock have any way to know? I mean, I guess Forrest could, like, call him, but, like, are they monitoring their conversation? You know what I mean? Like, how abusive really are they, like, after Brock leaves?
That's interesting what you said about him having a goal and that being the only thing to get him through this.
Yeah.
It's because that kind of comes back to the central premise of the Pokemon series and franchise. Children having agency and being self-reliant and self-dependent and being able to explore the world as they see fit. That's an escapist power fantasy for children. It just is. It's not based in realism in any way.
No.
But that's why it's fantasy.
But I also wonder, like, how much of that, you know, Pokemon being such a mainstay in a lot of kids' childhoods, and even now, like, as adults. I mean, obviously, we've gone 20-plus years being fans of Pokemon and absorbing all this media and all the games. Having that sort of theme for kids, like what you said, an escapist power fantasy. Like, how much has Pokemon helped real kids get through bad situations in childhoods because of that theme? You know, you can be self-reliant. You can, things will get better for you. You know, have a goal and lean on your friends and that kind of stuff. You know, the messaging that we get with Pokemon. Like, I wonder how much has it helped kids. I'm sure a lot.
Yeah, distraction.
Yeah.
Kids escape into books and TV and stuff to get through their lives sometimes. That's just true.
Yeah.
And adults do the same damn thing. Look at the fucking United States of America right now. Sorry, yeah, that's my obligatory.
No, I was literally about to say, like, that's you and me to a T. It's like, that exactly. No, I say that.
No.
Pokemon, I say that, like, oh, I wonder how many kids. That was absolutely me as a child. Pokemon is one of the things, but, like, it absolutely was an escape for me. So that's why it's such a prevalent thing in my life still as an adult, and it always will be.
This was a good episode. Look how much discussion we got out of that. Wow.
God, we talked about Forrest and Brock and all that for a long time.
Put Brock in the spotlight and look what happened.
See, this is why I love Brock. I think there's a lot of parallels of Brock that I see in my own childhood, so, like, he speaks to me. I'm glad we got this insight into Brock's character. I think, like you said, it was very needed, very critical, foundational block for, like, him as a character, and I'm glad we got to explore that. MVP, LVP, and quote time. Who is first?
Flipping the imaginary coin.
Not the Dragonite coin.
You are going first.
Well, my MVP is going to be Brock.
Of course. Well deserved. For once.
He deserves it. Oh my god, for once, he says.
Normally you'd give it to him just for lols. Like,
because I love Brock.
No, this Brock is well, great. Well deserved.
Very deserved. He absolutely... And I feel like I really don't need to go back into this because we had a lengthy discussion about it. But Brock stands up for what he believes is right. He steps in to try to help his siblings. He doesn't just give his parents, like, undue respect. Like, he's like, you gotta earn it. You gotta step up. You gotta be a parent.
And he feels a lot more real than he ever does.
This is absolutely real. My LVP, is there any wonder, is gonna be Lola.
Her name is Lola.
She was a showgirl. But yeah, I mean, Flint gets honorary LVP, which I'm sure you'll probably, maybe he'll show up in yours, I don't know.
Spoilers.
Lola deserves it. She's not a responsible parent. And there's nothing saying that you can't go out and do the things you want to do. But if you have children in the equation, that gets put on hold.
Accommodations need to be made. And the accommodations are not, Brock will handle it.
Yeah, not one of my children will handle it and raise my other children for me as I go off and do whatever I want. Not to say you can't be a parent and do things for yourself. Of course, every parent needs time to themselves and needs to relax or whatever. But, like, not the way that she does it or Flint does it, where they run off and just...
And we are not parents. And no. I'm going to go ahead and speak for you. I know neither of us plan on ever being parents.
No.
It's a lot easier to criticize from the outside.
Sure.
But this is not like a, oh, you were a little too harsh on them. You know, give them some grace. No, this is not that situation. That happens all the time. That's not what this is. This is out and out child abandonment.
Exactly. And you know what? Maybe people have differing opinions on this, but my take on it is, you know, some people might say, oh, you're selfish for not wanting to have children. You're selfish for
bullshit.
Not wanting...
No.
I think it's more selfish to have kids and then continue to live a lifestyle the same way that you did before you had kids. At least if you're honest with yourself and you say, you know, I don't think that kind of life is for me. That is completely valid. And I think it's pretty unselfish because you know your capacity and you know you're like, okay, I don't want to take that road knowing that I couldn't rise to it 100% or 110%. I think that shows a self-awareness that a lot of people don't have.
You mean to tell me you don't see children as just an outgrowth of yourself and you're gifting the world more use and that they are always going to be subservient and in your image? That's not the way you see childhood or child.
Yeah, you don't tell your kids that you had kids just so that they can take care of you in your old age. And, you know, maybe you name your kid after some fantasy character that you like because it's your favorite fandom. Because, you know, kids are just dolls that you can dress up and...
This is my daughter, Khaleesi.
Oh, my God.
Okay, anyway.
Anyway, I think we're getting to... Anyway, so Lola deserves it because she is an irresponsible person that just comes in and steamrolls over everything after leaving her family to pick up the slack because she decided that she wanted to go do whatever the fuck she wanted to do that day. God only knows how much money she's spent in pursuit of her hobbies. What about her children? Does she enrich their lives? I don't know. I don't think so. My quote. There wasn't, like, a lot of quotes, actually, in this. Not like, funny ones, but this was a serious episode. Actually, I have a serious one. It's not funny, sorry, but it just kind of speaks into, like, the whole... the way her kids feel about her, too. But this is when Lola has filled up the gym with water... the watercolor paints and flowers, and Brock is appalled, aghast. And Forrest basically jumps in and says, don't try to reason, Brock. We've all tried. She's never going to change her mind about this.
Yikes.
And the fact that her like, again, sorry not to get serious or whatever, but the fact that her young children are trying to reason with her like adults would is just fucked up, in my opinion.
Sorry, which of the kids was that?
That was Forrest.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure. Who was the other kid? So Forrest was the tall one in green, but there's also another semi-tall kid in red.
I think that's Salvador.
Salvador?
And the girl is Yolanda.
Oh my god, these names
so are so named for Lola's international travels, I'm sure.
Like, I know.
Those are former lovers of her or something.
Salvador was her lover from Paldea. I think it was Forrest who said it. It may have been Salvador, but I'm pretty sure it was Forrest.
I feel so bad for Forrest. He's having to take care of the kids, just like Brock.
He's the Brock. I know. It's so sad.
That's why I think Brock is, there's going to be some resentment there.
But it's not Brock's fault.
It's not Brock's fault, but still. That's
I understand.
How human emotions work.
I know. Anyway, I understand that. Misplaced resentment, but anyway.
Okay, my MVP. I'll get to Forrest.
Okay.
Forrest taking a lot on his plate. Forrest is taking a lot of responsibility that should not be his to take. And, like, he got a name, so that's nice. My LVP is going to be Flint. As you've been dogging on Lola, I've been chiming in with, like, and Flint sucks, too, the whole time.
Oh, yeah, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Flint is just as cold. They're both shit parents. Yeah. They're both bad.
They're just horny. They're horny fuckers. They have a breeding kink, clearly.
Clearly.
They care more about getting themselves off than they do about raising children. Right. So, they're just bad people. They just are. Okay. But my quote actually is going to be from Flint, and it's when he's battling Lola. And he says, presumably to Lola, who's your daddy?
What the fuck?
So, yeah, what I was saying about that breeding kink, yeah.
And they're the kind of people that, just another, like, ding in their reputational meter or whatever, but, like, the fact that they're roping their kids into their kinky shit, like, right in front of them. It's like, come on. Nobody's kinky saying shit, you can't have a kink.
Everyone in present needs to consent.
Yes!
And you know who can't consent? Your children.
Children. Yeah. It's just fucked up.
This ain't, like, White Lotus. Like, calm down.
Good God.
Okay.
We'll see where that goes.
Ooh. I think we know where that's going to go.
All right.
All right, next episode. We are leaving Kanto behind.
We are leaving Kanto behind.
For now.
Now we're back in Hoenn, one of the best places in the world. This episode is, I have it out of order because I watched them out of order. There's no place like Hoenn.
There's no place like Hoenn. There's no place like Hoenn. There's no place like Hoenn.
I'm surprised they didn't do, like, a Wizard of Oz, like, themed episode. That'd be funny. Mm. May gets sucked up in a tornado and shenanigans.
Who'd be the witch? Jessie.
Oh my God. Okay.
Jessie would totally be the witch. Yeah.
Can we do, like, a quick exercise on, like...
Okay. It falls into place perfectly. Dorothy is May.
Yes.
Brock is the Scarecrow.
Oh my gosh.
I guess Ash would be the Tin Woodsman and Max would be the lion.
Yeah, Cowardly Lion.
I think Pikachu's Toto by default.
Of course. Even no, wouldn't Torchic be Toto if it's her Pokemon?
I guess. Okay, Pikachu's with the Munchkins, I guess. The Munchkins are all the Pokemon.
The Lollipop Guild. Who's the good witch?
Nurse Joy?
Well, she didn't show up in this episode. Caroline? Is it Caroline, maybe?
I guess it's Caroline. And then James and Meowth and Wobbuffet are the Flying Monkeys.
Oh my God. Okay, who's Norman then? We didn't give Norman a character.
He's the wizard.
Oh, the wizard. You're so right. Oh my God. God, are we missing any characters?
I think we got them all.
I think we got them, all the main ones. Oh my God, it works so well. Why didn't they do that? I'm so pissed off.
Okay. Yeah, why didn't they, instead of establishing all the characters in the world for the new series they're setting up, why didn't they do a Wizard of Oz parody with characters we've never met before? God, yeah. What were they thinking?
Yeah, duh. I can't believe that they weren't thinking that way. Damn it.
All right, so this is an important episode. I don't know if it's necessarily a great episode, but we do meet a lot of people.
It's very much a, this is a new series, so we have to reiterate some basics for the newcomers. Like, that, that's what I got out of it. Anyway, time for me to summarize, I think.
3, 2, 1, go.
So, Ash is excited to go to Petalburg. May seems to imply that she knows a little something about it, but Ash is completely oblivious. Anyway, they end up in the gym and encounter an irritable young kid who pretends to be the gym leader. The interaction is really funny, but we ultimately end up getting introduced to this kid is May's brother and meet her dad, the gym leader Norman, and her mom Caroline. They get into some shit. Ash gets into an unofficial match. Team Rocket is there. They try to steal Torchic, but then get them back.
All right, let's do this. I barely remember this episode. Did you?
So I was, like, going through that 30 seconds, and I was like, wait, actually more shit happened than I thought.
It's an introduction episode. We got to meet a lot of people.
I mean, it's okay. It's an okay episode.
So we are here at Petalburg, and Ash is raring to go for his gym battle with the mysterious new gym leader. And May is like, I may have heard a thing or two about this gym leader. Like, he's really cool and really smart and really handsome. And that was an odd White Lotus moment, for sure.
I mean, kids can look up to their parents,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I guess she's 10, so it's not creepy.
She's like, oh, my handsome dad, or oh, my beautiful mom, whatever. Like,
yeah, okay, fair enough. She's 10, I gotta remember that. They don't act like they're 10, so I always forget.
Okay, can I, maybe this is not something I need to, like, say.
No, I know what you're gonna say, I know it.
What am I gonna say?
May was not designed to be a 10-year-old girl.
She was not
designed to be a 10-year-old girl.
No.
Obviously,
I think that's pretty obvious.
People develop at different rates during puberty, but
she's fucking 10.
May was not designed to be a 10-year-old girl.
No. I'm just going to leave it there, and I don't think I'm, obviously, I'm not, it wasn't just me who thought about it, so it's not, like, just saying.
You gotta keep that in mind. They're supposed to be 10 for some godforsaken reason.
They're not 10.
They're not. So Ash gives a little exposition. Oh, you gotta get 8 gym badges from the gyms, and then you can be in the Pokemon League.
I thought it was kind of sad. Like, coming off the heels of the Brock, Lola Flint family dynamic thing, kind of how May's, like, little comment, side comment, that of course Ash does not pick up on because he's the master of obliviousness, where she was like, I wish I knew my dad better. Or I wish it. We didn't know. We don't know at this point, like right at this very point, that that's her dad. But we find out very soon. Where she's like, oh, he's really smart and really handsome and really strong as a gym leader. Oh, I wish I knew him better. Like, it just kind of made me feel really sad for her. Because I was like, what kind of family dynamic is there that he's like a distant father who's always at the gym who prioritizes his work? I don't know. I just thought it was sad.
I mean, I don't think of May and Norman as very close
characters. Well, exactly.
Then
that makes you wonder, like, you know, what's the dynamic there? And not saying that Norman is being malicious, but like,
it sounds like it's a very old school, let's say, setup of the mother is the caretaker and the dad works, and there's a distance that naturally arrives from that.
Yeah, he doesn't know his kids as well as he should because he's not really there, and he leaves the child rearing and home domestic things to Caroline, you know?
I'm not disagreeing with you. This is spoiler territory. I distinctly remember there's a later episode where May says, yeah, we weren't allowed to watch our dad do Pokemon battles and stuff.
Really? I forget that.
So, and the fact that May knows next to nothing about any of this, clearly she has to be doing active resistance to not know anything about anything. She has to be going out of her way not to know you need 8 gym badges, etc.
Yeah, that part was interesting. Like, the fact that she's a daughter of a gym leader and would presumably be enmeshed. But then it's interesting because Max knows everything about it.
Right. He's clearly all in. And she's actively rebelling against it.
So I wonder, that's an interesting point that you make, because I wonder if it's kind of like a subconscious, potentially, like you said, or maybe actively rebelling against what her dad stands for, because she kind of resents him for being an absent dad. So she's like, well, I'm not really interested in anything that you're doing or that world of Pokemon training, because you prioritize that over me as a kid. So I don't want anything to do with it.
Whereas Max, who we'll see in later episodes, loves Norman. He loves the cool,
yeah,
handsome Norman as a father. And especially since Max is such a dweeby little kid, you know? So.
But it's an interesting dynamic of the siblings. Like, you know, you have the one who's like, looks up to the father as their complete role model, hero, whatever, wants to be exactly the same, emulate father.
Mm-hmm.
And then May is like, I'm really not impressed. Like, you didn't really give me time as a kid. Like, why should I care about what you're doing? Like, I'm not interested in this. Like,
if we lived in a world where any of the characters could age, maybe Max might have a different opinion in later in life.
Sure.
But we don't live in that world. So no. Here we are. So anyway, getting back to it.
Yeah, sorry. In keeping with the family dynamic kind of theme.
I can't believe we had 2 back-to-back episodes about family gym dynamics. That is wild.
It is wild. It's kind of fun.
Ash is like, I'm going to that gym right now. May pulls a Brock in the Cerulean City episode from season 1. And she's like, I have some errands to do. Goodbye.
What were those fucking errands, by the way? We talked about that fucking errand thing. And I don't know if we ever came up with an answer.
There was no place for Brock in the script for that episode. So he just left. Goodbye.
Yeah.
And May appears to the untrained eye to be doing the same thing today. Because she is being weirdly avoidant about this whole, her family, it lives at the gym, her father is the gym leader situation. So, ignoring her, Ash goes to the gym, finds a Japanese-style dojo. No one's there, so he starts screaming at the rafters. Hello? Is anyone here? I'm Ash from Palatown. As he does.
Not the first time that he's done this.
And not the last. So, who we know to be Max, in his big old Coke bottle glasses, comes up.
And his helmet hair.
Yeah, his helmet hair. At least he doesn't have a bowl cut.
Thank God.
He's like, stop screaming. Oh, wait a minute. I recognize you. I was literally just watching you on my VHS tape that I recorded for my VCR of footage from the Silver Conference. And your name is Alf. And you lost. Because your Charizard couldn't get it together. And Ash immediately is enraged with this child who's talking shit at him.
I mean, yeah. Oh my God.
I love Max.
I love him too.
Max is such a little shit. It's really fun. Let's talk about Max.
Oh my
god. Max is a completely new character to this show. We've had bratty little kids before. Like that kid with the Bellsprout Tower or whatever.
Good lord.
Having that kid be a main character, and for really, just for the sake of something different, that what a good call to make it so it's not Ash, Brock, and some new girl. This is a great dynamic.
The thing about Max, and we'll obviously see this more as we go along, he's the dweeby little brother, whatever. But, like, he's sassy and a brat in, like, a funny way.
Yeah. I've been the dweeby little brother who's too smart for his own good and has a lot of comments to make. One might argue I still play that role in my workplace.
Yeah, what's changed, so, really?
So, I can relate.
But he's, like, funny, though. He's not, like a, oh my god, what an annoying little kid. He's actually, he's just good-natured enough and kind of ribs Ash in, like, a funny way and not in, like, a hateful way. I don't know. It's such a weird way to describe it. I like him. He's not wrong, though, either.
Yeah, exactly.
And the fact that he just gets under Ash's skin just perfectly, because it's like, Ash is very prone to, you know, he's a hothead. He's self-conscious sometimes. When you start talking about training and stuff and his methodology, he gets self-conscious about it. But I'm like, Max just knows how to twist the screw just enough to get him, like, annoyed, but not in, like, a shitty way.
The main thing that seems to be a conflict here is Ash is like, at this point, I'm pretty accomplished. At this point, I'm a professional at this, and I know what I'm doing. And Max is like, sure, but you got a long way to go. And he's right.
Not wrong.
Ash does have a long way to go.
Yeah, and I think Ash, it's funny too, because with Misty getting under his skin, or like the other interactions he's had with some other trainers where he's kind of gotten a little bit, yeah, like Gary or any of the other ones, the trainer of the day, where he's been a hothead and taken things personally or whatever. I think it speaks to Ash's growth as a character too, that he, well, first of all, Max is a little kid. You know, he's not like Misty or Gary, same age or whatever. So he's a little bit more tolerant and doesn't hold it against him like that. But I think Ash is also grown. So he's a little bit more like, okay, you're not like wrong here. Like, I understand it.
Okay, all right.
Sure. Yeah. He's more mature about it. Even though it annoys him, he's like, whatever.
Well, Ash pulls the, well, you're a little kid, what do you know, kind of card. And Max does a Uno reverse, and he's like, guess what? I'm the gym leader.
Whoa.
I'm the gym leader, and I know exactly what I'm talking about. Ash does not believe this, but then he seems to go along with it.
Sure.
He's like, all right, let's battle. Max says, okay, it's a 3-on-3. Bring out your Pokemon first. And Ash is like, no, you're the gym leader. You bring out your Pokemon first. Max is like, no, I'm the gym leader, so I'm in control, and I'm in charge, and you should bring out your Pokemon first, because he's stalling, because he's lying, and he's trying to put this on as long as possible. It is really funny that Ash gets involved with this kid and is, like, being outwitted, kind of. At which point, May sticks her head through a window, as do Norman and is it Coraline or Caroline?
Caroline.
Caroline. Norman and Caroline are here as well, because off-screen, this was really weird to me. May has decided she's had enough of this facade of pretending she doesn't know anything about the gym leader. She's come home because I guess she has nothing else to do. She said, hi, Mom and Dad. And they've wandered in and they find Ash and Max. And now everything's out in the open.
Do you think that she sought them out intentionally? Or do you think when she was like going off to like hide that they just happened across her and they were like out doing errands together or something? Like, oh my god, May!
Oh, maybe.
What are you doing here?
Because they weren't home when Ash got there at first.
Right. So maybe they just happened to bump into her.
We'll never know because this episode is not interested in May's point of view at all. No. Which I thought was odd.
I know. I really wish that they would have had the camera, whatever, follow May. You know, Ash is like, oh, I'm gonna go to the gym, you know, whatever. Meanwhile, it would have been with May's POV. We find her, like, wandering along, like, kind of agonizing over it, maybe, like, internally, like, oh, no, you know, I don't really want to go home yet, or, you know, and then we kind of, as an audience, are a little bit like, what's the problem? Like, what's the mystery? We bump into Norman and Caroline, who at this point we do not know is the gym leader, or her parents, rather, we don't know. We could have had some kind of, like, exchange, I don't know what that would have looked like, but some kind of exchange where somehow they end up at the gym, and then we find out, you know.
We missed a very critical little scene here.
Oh, well.
We had to do our own conjecture, like, okay, May, I guess, just didn't want to go home, but she ends up at home, so.
I think maybe this will be more apparent later as we go on, and honestly, I don't remember these episodes very well, so we may very well get dialogue or, like, an arc or something relating to this. May seems to have a resentment for her dad in a way, whether she realizes it or not. like, it's obvious that she's very reluctant to even do the training thing. Mm-hmm. So it seems like there's still an expectation that she do that and take that path. And obviously she feels very embarrassed. Like, she can't say no because it seems like she's really wandering with no purpose. Like, she's like, I'm expected to be a trainer. I don't really know what I'm doing. Ah.
Like, maybe that's the reason she hooked up with Ash. Is she's like, well, this guy knows what he's doing. Let me just hitch my trailer to him and something, at least. I don't know.
It almost seems like, I don't know, there's an expectation. Like, if she hooked her horse up to Ash's cart kind of thing. Like, you know, maybe she could kind of ride the coattails of Ash and be like, okay, he can teach me about training and stuff like that. But, like, I don't know. It seems like she is expected to report back on, like, oh, how much, like, what's your badge journey looking like? Come on, May. Like, where's your badges? Like,
she doesn't want to answer questions. Yeah. She doesn't have any answers to give.
Well, why else would she act that way? Like, she obviously isn't, like, saying, no, I want to do... I mean, obviously, she doesn't know what she wants to do. So the assumption and the expectation is she just does what Norman does and go through the gym challenge or whatever.
She's doing what's put in front of her at any moment.
Which, obviously, that's going to be a big part of her character. We'll find that out. But, like, I don't know why she feels pressured. Does she feel pressured? Is it just, like, a long line of people who've always just done the gym stuff in her family and she just feels like, well, you know, it's like kids that come from a long line of, like, doctors or something. And it's like, oh, well, my father and my father's father and my father's father was a doctor. And of course you're going to be a doctor. There's no question. But the kid doesn't want to be a doctor. They want to be a fucking vegetable grower. I mean, I don't really know.
Like, okay. Interesting choice. I will say this. I don't remember these episodes especially well. I will say, from what I do remember, don't hold your breath on any follow-up to this.
I honestly don't know why my first thought was farmer. Like, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a farmer. Like,
the storyline usually is the kids want to leave the farm. But anyway, don't hold your breath on this getting explored in any depth until we get to Serena.
God.
That's going to kind of be a redo of this.
Maybe they found their footing and they were like, oh, we fucked it up.
I love May. I think the Serena was kind of, let's do May again. In some ways. Okay.
Get it right.
Let's get it right this time. Okay, anyway, so we're here, and now everything's out in the open. May is these people's daughter. Her dad is the gym leader, the new gym leader, it seems. Max was lying. Max was talking shit. No one reprimands him for lying to this kid. Norman and Caroline are very laissez-faire parents. They don't give a shit. Maybe they're more tough with the girl than they are the boy. Who knows?
Wait, what now?
I said maybe they're tougher with the girl than they are the boy.
Oh, maybe.
And also she's the firstborn child, so maybe. Who knows?
The favorite son.
Ash is like, I'm Ash Ketchum from Pallet Town. I do gym quest. And Norman's like, well, I'm the gym leader, but we do 3-on-3 matches, which has been the standard of this is 2 or 3 battles. So I don't know what Ash's plan was. He didn't have one. He was just like, gym battle time. And that we all sit down in the family kitchen. Ash explains, you know, his past. I've traveled around a couple regions with my good friends, and now I'm here in Hoenn, and I'm kind of at base one with just my Pikachu. The family suggests, well, why don't you just call up some of your old Pokemon, and we can have a gym battle right now? Ash says, no, he doesn't want to do that, because Gary took only his Blastoise, and he has to be like Gary in all respects. He doesn't actually say that. But a 3-on-3 battle just simply is not going to happen today. So Norman says, well, why don't we just have a 1-on-1 just for practice? And Ash is cool with that. Oh, by the way, the parents ask May, where's your bike? Ash is like, about that. And the parents are like, oh, well, who cares? Bikes are, they're just bikes. They're not that important.
Bikes only cost $1 million.
Yeah,
$1 million. No big deal.
Who cares? We're rich.
Do you think gym leaders make a lot of money?
I don't know, do they?
I don't know.
I would say Brock's family is able to feed 10 children, but I think those kids probably would go hungry, if not for Brock.
That is true.
Anyway, throughout all this, Max is jealous of Ash's carefree, wandering lifestyle. He really wants to get in on this. We talk a bunch about May's Torchic. Max shits all over it and says she should have picked a Treecko. So Torchic pecks the shit out of Max. Well deserved.
I love this part.
Torchic is cute in this episode.
Very cute.
I like how it's all loving to May, but when Max is a dick to it, it's willing to pick the shit out of him.
Torchic has a couple of feathers loose because, as we'll see, it really just cannot get it together.
Tell me that in a second when we get there.
Okay.
In the meantime, it's time for the practice match. There's no judge. It's Vigoroth versus Pikachu. I didn't find it very interesting at all. Did you?
Not one single shred of interesting thing happened in this battle because Norman didn't even fucking try. He just had Vigoroth use Scratch the whole time. I was like, what the fuck is this shit?
Yeah, and Pikachu did horribly.
God damn.
Did he even try to Thundershock it?
No.
Or did he just quick attack around?
Quick attack. Quick attack and Scratch. What the fuck?
Pikachu, how about, well, Ash, how about you have Pikachu use a Thunder attack or something?
I mean, so what, okay, let me just pause for 1 second. Obviously, Vigoroth is a new Pokemon. What did you think about Vigoroth?
I'm not a big fan of the Vigoroth family.
I mean, I've never used
They're not it. My favorite.
I think in the game, like, my problem with the, with Slaking anyway, or I think Slakoth too, its ability, Truant or whatever, like, makes it so you lose a turn every other
right, fuck that.
Turn. And I'm like, okay, I don't have time to sit around and, like, wait for my Pokemon to, like, lay around. Maybe there's a way to use it right, and I just don't know. And if any Slaking users, Truant user, whatever, can weigh in on why it's a good Pokemon, please, I'm curious. But, like, it was never for me.
Vigoroth is, like, I mean, literally, it's the middle stage that's, like, super rambunctious, unlike its previous stage and later
stage. It can actually do something and not lay around and waste a turn.
What it can do is beat Pikachu with a Scratch attack. Wow. Because he Scratch attacks Pikachu into a wall, leaving a crater.
I know, the fact that he threw him into the wall left a hole and there was like drywall like scattered all around the floor. I was like, what the hell? Josh was watching that with me and he's like, oh my god.
Everyone gives Pikachu shit for that Snivy bullshit that's gonna happen in Black and White. I'm a lot more offended by this.
I forgot all about this.
This is a bad showing for Pikachu.
Yeah, very bad. Well, to be fair, Pikachu just went through like a terrible sickness and had like Pikachuitis.
Fair enough, fair enough.
And so
he's reset to level 1.
Yeah.
Not for the last time.
Oof.
At this point, Team Rocket attacks. Hooray!
Oh my god, Team Rocket's here.
And the family kind of gets an introduction into who Team Rocket are. At this point, I think Ash should say, oh yeah, by the way, if your daughter is going to be traveling with me, these people attack me literally every day in every circumstance imaginable, and this is like a constant thing we do.
He should have like a lawyer or something draft up a document saying, if you're in my presence or vicinity in any capacity, please be advised and be aware that you may be attacked without warning by strange people in uniforms. So if you're okay with that, please sign here.
There's kind of a funny moment where Norman and Caroline think they're friendly because they don't know who Team Rocket, they've never heard of Team Rocket before, even though they just blew a hole in the side of the building. No.
Team Rocket's literally doing a motto saying we're going to steal your Pokemon, and then, oh my god.
We give Flint and Lola a lot of shit. Norman and Caroline are not exactly parents of the year either, because they're so oblivious to everything happening around them.
I know. Caroline's comments, I think she has like some kind of brain damage or something. She's just like, whatever, everything's perfect. Ah.
They kind of got Delia syndrome of like, they're not adults. They're
Delia is more self-aware than Caroline. Delia, okay. I don't know what the fuck is going on with Caroline.
Well, we don't know Caroline. We don't know her very well.
I cannot wait. I am just frothing at the mouth for the episode where Caroline thinks.
I know. Don't say it.
No, I can't say it. Guys. Guys, there's a, I think maybe one of my favorite, most perfect episodes of the Pokemon anime involves Caroline and Norman. Please stay tuned for that. Oh my god.
That's good shit. I already got an episode title for that episode.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, hold on. I'm gonna type it right now.
It's an episode where miscommunication, it's like a comedy of errors, and it's perfect. Oh my god, Austin.
So that's for the Three's Company episode we have coming up next season.
We're being cryptic, and I can't say what Austin just put in the chat, but please, 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 please stick with us. And
stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Okay, for now, we have boring Team Rocket bullshit to deal with. Oh my god, Weezy needs a smokescreen. Team Rocket gets away. They take the Torchic on accident instead of Pikachu. Ash and the family run after them. There's actually a weird moment where Norman and Caroline, you know, parents of the year over here, are like, okay, kids, you go in that direction. We'll go in this direction. Very Scooby-Doo.
So Fred, I know. Fred and Daphne.
Fred and Daphne went off. They left their children to go look for the thieves by themselves. Okay.
I know.
Rest assured, Norman and Caroline have no problem finding them because they come right back and they're like, we found them over here.
Okay.
So we have a Team Rocket battle. There's a funny moment where May and Max run toward them, and Ash is like, no, wait, look out for the... And they fall into a pitfall. Then Norman and Caroline are like, our babies! And they also run into a pitfall trap.
That was really funny.
Ash is like, Don't you people know that Team Rocket leave pitfall traps everywhere?
Well, maybe they would, Ash, if you would explain anything to them, but you don't.
Admittedly,
he
did try.
Yeah, as they were running, it's a little too late. He should have been very preemptive and said, okay, guys, here's the situation. I've been chased relentlessly for years by these bumbling fools. This is their MO.
The Petalburg family is learning the ins and outs of Team Rocket attacks.
Good lord.
As Vigoroth is fighting Arbok, Max has a good moment where he sneaks up and takes Torchic back. That was neat. So Mei commands that Torchic use the Amber attack, at which point a mushroom appears.
What? A mushroom.
Okay. Obviously, there was a Japanese pun that did not get translated.
Sure.
Clearly, but I guess they did the best they could, and the best they could was bad. Moving on, Max tells Mei, because Mei doesn't know what the fuck she's doing, that Torchic should use Peck Attack. So Torchic uses Peck Attack on Max.
There's something wrong with this Torchic. Like, I feel like... Well, actually, there's something wrong with all of Birch's Pokemon, because when Mei said... When she first saw Birch getting chased up a tree by Poochyena, and she called out Mudkip and was like, Mudkip, use Water Gun, it pointed the Water Gun at her. Like, what is wrong with these Pokemon that they cannot competently attack the right party? What the hell? Is there something in the water? Like, what's going on here?
That Treecko, by the way, is on the run for murder.
Like, yeah, what's going on with Treecko? God. You would think the Pokemon have some... They're obviously intelligent. How many conversations have we had together about the intelligence level of the Pokemon? It's not hard to figure out. If a trainer says, use Peck, the danger is clearly this. Why are you not comprehending that? Like, I don't understand at all.
I choose to think Torchic is just a dick, and Torchic just hates Max now. And it's like, fuck you, Max. You're my enemy now.
Torchic is just lives for the chaos. Like, is it the new Togepi?
We'll see.
Oh my god, we never really had a proper send-off for Togepi, did we?
Not yet.
Okay.
Ash calls out, Bayleaf! Oh wait, no he doesn't. Bayleaf's in Kanto. Whoops. So, I guess he has to use Pikachu. Ugh, can you believe Ash has to use Pikachu? So, Team Rocket blasts it off. Now, it's sunset, so obviously sunset is the time that you say goodbye to your family in your family home, and you wander off into the wilderness. You wouldn't do such a thing in the morning, you wait till 7:30 p.m. to do so.
Wait, I'm trying to remember. Okay, Petalburg, you have to go through the forest.
The forest.
To get to Rustboro. It's not like Old Dale to Petalburg, like it's not really close.
No, they got a ways to go.
Okay.
As they go, Norman gifts Ash and Mei badge cases. Ash's first ever badge case.
Oh my god, you're right. He's put them in his coat before. Wow, what a moment. Okay.
Because he no longer has that vest. He's wearing a hoodie.
I did not even make that connection. Wow, you're very right. This is monumental.
Ash's first ever badge case. There's an interesting factoid about that case, but our episode's getting long, so I'm going to put that aside for now.
Okay.
We'll get back to that later.
Don't forget.
May's like, okay, I can't wait to fill up this badge case with badges. At this point, Mei is saved because Max runs up. He has a backpack on and he's saying, by the way, I'm going too. I am not 10 years old and I don't have a Pokemon trainer's license, but I'm going to join your journey. And I did not discuss this with my parents in advance, and it's just happening now. And Norman and Caroline are like, what a great idea. Ash, would you mind?
What the fuck is he going to say? No, I mean, I guess he could, but like,
I mean, they've, like, adopted Ash as, like, their new son now. He's like,
okay. They don't even know him.
Here's your children. Watch out for them. Goodbye.
I know. For the one thing, like, they don't even know him at all. He just shows up at the gym, which they didn't know that he was traveling with Mei at first. Because remember, she met her parents separately from Ash.
Mm-hmm.
She's known him for, like, a day. Clearly, they've been attacked by Team Rocket a few times already. Caroline and Norman have seen this firsthand now, that this kid, there's something going on with this kid. He's a magnet for trouble. And they're like, okay, we're going to send both of our children off.
Caroline was like, thank God. This will be so much easier without Max around.
She literally says that.
But it comes off as Caroline being like, thank God, one less mouth to feed. This is going to be great. Just me.
I know. Just Norman. Her and her husband, Norman, so they can
finally
Flint and Lola the fuck around, I guess, but...
But unlike Flint and Lola, they actually use birth control because two was enough.
They only have two children. And there was a gap in between, obviously. There's a large gap, so.
That raises the question of how old is Max. We will never know the answer. They never give it.
Okay, if May is 10, which she is not 10, but she's 10.
No, she's not.
Max would be
I think he's like 6 or
7. I'd say 7.
Certainly old enough to wander the wilderness with two children.
Well, he's smart. He's well-spoken and not like a child. He's not like some of the kids that we've seen that are like having tantrums and stuff all the time.
Well, that's funny because you say that, because he actually did have a tantrum.
When did he have a tantrum?
In this episode, he threw himself on the ground and was like crying and screaming. And May said, don't believe him. He's lying.
Oh, well, he was just hamming it up.
Max was like, fine, I guess that trick wasn't going to work.
Oh, you're talking about the part where, okay, so after Fred and Daphne go off and do their own thing.
Velma, Shaggy, and Scooby are left behind.
They're having a little tiff. Max is hamming it up for Ash. And then May immediately calls him out and he like snaps up and he's like, oh, I guess that always was going to get old sooner rather than later. Oh, well, he was kidding. He was always kidding.
I do enjoy May and Max. They actually feel like siblings who are relatively close in age. Like, they actually have that vibe.
Okay, hot take of the sibling dynamics that we get. I know I'm, like, jumping ahead, of course. I like May and Max better than I like Bonnie and Clement.
Well, Bonnie and Clement are, they get along better.
I don't know. I guess this is just, like, the OG siblings, but...
Serena is May 2.0.
Sure.
And Bonnie and Clement are May and Max 2.0. Okay, anyway, we're gonna get to XY much later.
Yeah.
We're going to have a lot of May and Max to discuss, so let's put it off for now, I guess.
Okay.
But sorry, I like them. They're fun. I love them
a
lot.
Sure.
I've forgotten how much I enjoyed them, actually, until we got here. And I'm like, yeah!
I know.
May and Max! Well,
I'm withholding... I mean, I like them. I'm withholding more judgment until we see them more. This is only, like, episode 2, so...
Okay, anyway, there was an interesting moment. Apparently, Norman was like, thank God Max is leaving, because I can finally give him this. And he pulls out from nowhere a Pokemon Navigator.
Ooh.
AKA a PokéNav. AKA a thing that you can use in Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire. Like, Max is the holder of it. He's the keeper of the PokéNav. Max is going to be our navigator instead of Brock. Thank fuck, because Brock is horribly incompetent when it comes to reading maps.
To be fair to Brock, Brock had paper maps and books, and this is an actual technological device.
But that means in the future episodes, if they want to get lost, we can just pretend the PokéNav's broken. Or it doesn't have a GPS signal.
Sure.
So Max's role is established. He's in charge of the map. And off we go to leave our parents behind. We're off to Rustboro City for Ash's and May's gym battles. To be continued.
Ooh, gosh. We have had so much to say these past few episodes. Wow.
They're establishing episodes. We got a lot to cover.
Well, I'm really glad that I watched the right thing this week and I didn't skip ahead to the next episode, which is...
Oh, we got to do MVP LVP.
Oh my god. Sorry, I completely... I'm just jumping the gun left and right today. We've talked a lot. I guess I figured like we already did it, but...
Okay, you're going first.
Oh my god. Okay, MVP is gonna be... Max. I like Max. Max is fun. He's cute.
This is the Max-isode.
The Max-isode, yeah. He's cute, like him. He's not annoying, even though he is, but it's like in an endearing way, so... Looking forward to more of that dynamic. My LVP is going to be... Norman and Caroline?
Oh, both of them. Okay.
Should I? I don't know. I guess there's really nobody else that deserves it. You know what? Actually, I'm just going to say Norman.
Okay.
Caroline gets honorary one, but Norman because he uses Vigoroth and only has it use Scratch, which was lame as shit. My quote is going to be... All right, I guess when Team Rocket blasts off again, Jesse says, oh, why couldn't we have grabbed that Vigoroth instead of a tiny Torchic? James says, from now on, I'll just be happy with whatever we get. And Meowth says, well, I'd be happy if we just get a life.
I could also use life. Good point, Meowth.
Facts.
My MVP, since you took Max, I'm going to give it to Ash for... being immature enough to get into a bickering match with Max and falling for his traps and taking the bait like he does, but also mature enough to not quite go as far as he could have. It was fun. It was funny. My LVP, I'm going to give it to Team Rocket. We did not need Team Rocket in this episode. It would have been a much better episode if it was just the family dynamics. Look at how much better the Brock episode was than this one because we didn't need to squeeze in a Team Rocket conflict. My quote is going to be an example of what I was talking about, the brother-sister dynamic. Max says, okay, Max has a really wild moment where he straight up becomes Detective Conan of case closed
Oh my god, I love Case Closed. Oh
yeah, Case Closed slash Detective Conan, because he looks like him. He totally does. But he pulls out a magnifying glass and is like, Detective Max, it's on the case.
Oh, cute.
He's looking around and he says, they sure didn't leave any tracks behind. And May retorts, perhaps that's because they flew off in a balloon.
That's cute.
That's it.
What are we looking forward to for next week, Austin?
We're going to talk about the Chronicles episode, Cerulean Blues.
Ooh, I wonder what that'll be about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the episode that Alex already saw part of because she was watching the wrong episodes.
Oopsie.
The episode is called You Can Never Talo. And that's a Pokemon Advanced episode.
If this is the episode that I think is what it is, I'm excited.
What do you think it is?
Ash's first Pokemon.
Oh, yeah, finally. All right, let's do this.
Perfect. Well, guys, thank you guys so much for listening and joining us this week. We enjoyed it. Hoenn is off with a bang. It's super exciting. Lots of action to come, so stay tuned.
We're clearly excited. We have so much to say.
God, I don't think we've talked so much in these episodes, like, for a long time. Like,
we are in Vigoroth now that we're in Hoenn.
I know. I love Hoenn. Austin loves Hoenn. We all love Hoenn. We hope you enjoy Hoenn so far, too.
Fuck you, Johto. Okay, I gotta let it go.
Johto's in the past, Austin. Johto can't hurt you anymore.
That's true. We gotta move forward.
Yes, we gotta advance. Okay.
Hey!
That's not a tired
joke. That's never gonna get old.
No.
Okay.
All right. We hope you guys enjoyed. Like we said, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always do so by our Gmail account. Reach out to us there. Our email is outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. You can also follow us over on Blue Sky. Austin posts some fun stuff over there. Our handle is @outofthedryingpan. We also have an Instagram, which, stay tuned, going to be posting some fun stuff over there to celebrate our new adventures in Hoenn. Same handle, @outofthedryingpan, so follow us over there as well. And if you like what we do and want to support us here at Out of the Drying Pan, please check out our Patreon. You can find the link to that in our description. We have all kinds of fun bonus content you guys can get access to if you subscribe, so we'd really appreciate your support. As always, we want to say thank you so much for listening, and we hope to see you next week as the journey continues.